Thank you, Devil Yezer. Perek Mem Dalet. We're holding it in the middle of the Perek. Just 2 points about last week. The first one is we mentioned that the Medrash said that you're not allowed to, the Chazan is not allowed to start. The Shteich Tzibur is also lispalel im ein shom shnayim oimdim, unless there's two people standing on Pashas, I mean, standing on his side. And Pashas were talking about Al Chazan. So we spoke by Richos about that last week. But I neglected to mention the Radal brings from the Meiri a different pshat. That the Medrash is really talking about a tennis tzibur, like some of the Mefreshim we said last week, that's talking about specifically a tennis tzibur, but it's talking about that you're not allowed to daven the tefillahs of a tennis tzibur unless, besides the chazan, there's two other people that are also fasting. That's how he understands this Medrash. Okay, I didn't mention that pshat. That's one nekuda. The second nekuda is all the way at the end of last week's shir. So we brought down the pasuk of Kiyad al Case Ka Milchamash LaHashem Ba'Amalek. So I said I got a little bit carried away and I said that that's the last pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze in the Parsha Zohar or whatever. But it's not true. I made a mistake. Really, it's the last pasuk in Parshas Bishalach when it's talking about the story of Milchamash Amalek when they attacked the Jews. When they were leaving Mitzrayim. So really, it's the last pasuk, not of Parshas Zohar, but really the last pasuk of the Kriyas HaTorah that we read on Purim, which is Vayavoy Amalek. So that's the last pasuk in Parshas Bishalach. Fine, let's start. Rabbi Pinchas Omer. Rabbi Pinchas says, Achar Arboim Shana, after 40 years, meaning after the Jews have been in the desert for 40 years, Ratzah Moshe Lahazkir Yisrael V'Leimalem. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to remind the Jews and tell them, Zoichim Atem Shamartim Bamidbar Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyin. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to remind them, give them Musar, about what they said 40 years prior, that they said Hashem, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyin, is there Hashem in our midst or not? And we said last week that was the pasuk that's written right before the story of Amalek, and the story of Amalek was the consequences of Bnei Yisrael doubting the Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to remind them about that Avera, you know, maybe to give them chizuk so they won't do such a thing again. And we do find that in Parshas Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu gives Klal Yisrael Teichacha on different stories that happened in the Midbar through the 40 years. Eilu Devarim, right? Ashadibar Moshe El Bnei Yisrael, Bamidbar, Barava, Mal Suf, Ben Parim, Ben Teifel, Volavan, Ochaseres, Vidizov. And Rashi says that all those different things are allusions to different stories that happened in the Midbar where Bnei Yisrael did something wrong and Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them Musar for it. So Devarim is the Sefer, Moshe Rabbeinu gives them Musar. So here too, he wants to give them Musar about saying Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyin. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. So Moshe Rabbeinu was gonna say something to them about that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Im ani oimer li Yisrael kach, if I say to them straight, if I say to them thusly, hare ani megalas pneihem, I am going to reveal their faces." Which is another way of saying, I'm going to embarrass them. I'm going to be malbin pnei chaveri. So the Marzuba here says, what does it mean, megalas pnei? I'm going to reveal their faces. It means when you embarrass somebody, so the Chazal tells us that when you embarrass him, so the blood in his face is flushed, and his face turns all white, like a ghost. So then you could see his face in a very clear way. So in other places in Chazal, embarrassing someone is called malbin pnei chaveri, embarrassing him. I'll tell us in Ovis, the mission Ovis says that Afal Pishiesh Biyodai Torah Maisim Toivim, if a person embarrasses somebody, even if he has Torah and good deeds and everything, still in Lechelik Leilam Haba. It's a serious thing to embarrass someone. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to say it straight out. He didn't want to say, you said Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyin, and it's a bad thing. He didn't want to say it straight out to them because that would embarrass them. So he said it, he's going to say it in a more concealed, in a more hidden way.
That's what I have, though.
Oh, yeah, you have Malbin Panem?
And then bring the other one.
Megala?
Megala, but the Chatzilah
is. Okay, it's the same thing, basically. The Radal is sort of bothered by, but he says, like, what do you mean? But we find that Moshe Rabbeinu did give Bnei Yisrael Teichacha on other things. So, like, why over here, Dafka, is it a problem? But the way I understand that, I'm not so bothered by this question because, as I mentioned before, Moshe Rabbeinu, he also dressed up the other instances of Teichacha as well. He didn't say it straight out. Vidi Zahav, how do you know what Vidi Zahav is? I don't know what Vidi Zahav is. You have to look at Rashi. It's not in Mefurish in the Pesukim. But the Radal himself doesn't take that approach. The Radal wants to say that, no, this is different. I don't exactly understand why this should be different than the other cases, but that's the Radal in Ois Lamed Dalet, if you ever want to look at it. Ella Omar, rather, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ella, where are we? Ella Omar Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Man, Yerim El Yisrael Kain." If I say it to Bnei Yisrael, Kach Harenim Megalas Pneim, I'm going to be embarrass them. Vamagal upon him, Ein Lechelik Olam Haba. A person who embarrasses his fellow Jew, Ein Lechelik Olam Haba. It's a serious thing. You forfeit your portion in the world to come. So what am I going to do? Ella, rather, Ani Omer Lehem Maisa Malik. I'm going to tell them, repeat to them the story of Amalek. Of Amalek attacking them. And they're going to realize on their own what it said beforehand, that it says, and they're going to realize that that was the reason why the story of Amalek happened, and then they'll, you know, they'll be careful not to do it again.
He's referring to Parshas Ki Tete? When he is now repeating...
Right. When he, in Parshas Ki Tete, when he's repeating the story of Parshas B'Shalach,
that's the
Tochacha for Bnei Yisrael saying, Hayesh Hashem B'Gebeinu Im Oyin. Apparently, you know, I guess in this way, if you sort of tell somebody off in a hidden way, you don't say it straight out, so you're not going to be embarrassing him, because he's really figuring it out on his own. You're not saying straight out what he did wrong. It doesn't hit him as hard. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Medrash says like this: Moshel, Lama Dover Daima. What is this comparable to? Lamelach Shahari Le Pardes Echad, to a king or a sar. Different Gersos says a sar, a king who had an orchard. He had his own orchard, or his own garden, whatever. V'kol Shara Melach BePesach Pardes Kelev, and the king tied a dog to the entrance to the orchard, a guard dog to make sure that, you know, no one trespasses. V'amelach Yeshe Bal Yosei, and the king is sitting over there on the roof of his palace. Tsefe Umabit Kol Ma Shebapardes, he's looking and watching over everything that's happening in his orchard. And what happens? Nichnas Oyav Shemelach Lignoiv Min Apardes. The king's good friend comes into the orchard and he wants to steal some fruits from the orchard. And what happens? V'shisipaya kelev, that dog that was tied to the entrance of the orchard, he comes and he attacks the king's friend. V'kora big day ayavai, and tears the clothes of the king's friend. Omar Hamelach, the king said, next time I meet my friend, what am I going to say to him? Im oimer lo ayavi lama nichnasta lefardes, if I tell my friend, why did you go into my orchard? Harani Migala's Panov, I'm gonna embarrass him. If I say it straight out, why'd you go into the orchard? It's gonna embarrass him. He knows he's not supposed to do it. So, you know, you can't tell him off straight. Ella Harani Oimerloi, rather I'm gonna say to him, Haraisa Oisa Kelev Shaita, did you see that rabid dog? Heich Koras Bigodechla, how it tore your clothing. Vloya Mavin Shata Oyavi, and it didn't realize that you're my friend, you know? And then the friend is going to realize, you know, the concealed teichacha, that, you know, I really shouldn't have been going in there in the first place. But the king is not going to say it, you shouldn't go there. He's going to say, like, ah, look at that stupid dog. It went and attacked you. It didn't realize that you're my friend, and you know, Batsam, I would allow you to go in there. But it's not, he wasn't saying, like, Batsam, I would allow you to go in there. He didn't say those words. He's saying, like, oh, really, you shouldn't have gone in there. So Kach Omar Moshe, so too Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hare Ani Oimer LiYisrael Maisa Amalek, I'm going to tell Bnei Yisrael over the story of Amalek attacking the Jews, and they will immediately realize what it says beforehand, where that the Jews were the consequence of saying Ayesh Hashem B'Gabeinu Im Oyin was that Amalek attacked them. The Fichach Omar Moshe, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, and this was, we learned it this morning, Zachar Eisa Shasalacha Amalek Badech Betzisraim Mitzrayim. We should remember what Amalek did to you when you came out of Mitzrayim, and that's a way of reminding the Jews of what they said beforehand of Yesh Hashem B'Kabinu Yimoyin. Fine. Omar Lo Yisrael, Klal Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher, Kosov Echad Omer, Zachar Eisa Shasalacha Amalek. One pasuk says you should remember what Amalek did to you. B'chasav echad oimer, and another pasuk acher oimer, another pasuk says zachar eis yoim hashabbos lekachrei. You should remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. Heich yiskaimu shneihem. How can both of these things be true? Zeh zachar v'zeh zachar. This is zachar and this is zachar. So what's the question over here? Pashtus, the way I understand it, Pashtus, the question is, it's a funny thing to use the same terminology for both a positive and a negative thing. Remember this bad thing that happened when Amalek attacked you, and remember Shabbos, which is a good thing. So why would the Torah use the same wording for remembering a good thing and remembering a bad thing? That's the Pashtus, the way I understand it. The Marzu says a slightly different pshat. The Marzu, you have to know exactly how the Marzu understands it, and I have a shtickle answer to what the Marzu is sort of bothered with. But the Marzu says, you know, they're bothered by like this. When we say Zohar Hashem Shabbos L'Kad Shai, so the Zechira of Shabbos is in order to bring you to a great mitzvah, to the kiyum of the mitzvahs of Shabbos. Shabbos is, you know, Kol Hashem is the Shabbos, Kilu Afilo Isav Vaydas Kechavim Kedar Shel Enoish, he's Mocholoi, Avoyna Isav. Because it says, Kol Hashem Shabbos Mechaloloi Umachzikim Bevrisi, yo, then your affairs are forgiven. It's Gemara Shabbos. So, like, Shabbos is a very important thing. Zochar Hashem Shabbos Sekachai. So, the point of remembering Shabbos is so you can do the mitzvahs of Shabbos. But Amalek, what's the point of remembering Amalek? What's the mitzvah of Amalek? That's what the Marzu says is the question. So either the question is just in the terminology or in like the conceptual idea of like why by Shabbos are we trying to remember it for a mitzvah, and where's the mitzvah of remembering Amalek? I mean, there's an obvious answer.
It's a mitzvah to remember Amalek, or it's a mitzvah to remember what Amalek did?
To remember what Amalek did. When I say mitzvah to remember Amalek, I mean remember what Amalek did. Yeah. Okay, so what's the answer? Amar lehem Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, Loi daimek kois shel... Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klal Yisrael, Loi daimek kois shel kunditun lechois shel chaymitz. A cup of kunditun, which is basically some sort of wine that's cooked with different spices, whatever. It's like a nice fancy drink. A cup of kunditun, a fancy wine, is not comparable to kishel chaimitz, to a cup of vinegar. Wine that became spoiled, it becomes like vinegar. Right? It's not comparable. Zekois for zekois. I say, this is a cup and this is a cup, so it's the same thing. No, they're completely disparate concepts. Zeb zochar lishmor ulakadesh yam shabbos. This Zohar Shem Shabbos Zakajai is in order to remember, to keep, and to sanctify the day of Shabbos. Shem Zohar Shem Shabbos Zakajai. The second pasuk when we're talking about Amalek, Zohar Lahashmidu Lahachris is called Zari Shalom Amalek. Here, the remembering is a remember to destroy and to cut off the descendants of Amalek. Shem Zohar Eisashar Shalom Amalek. So it's, you're right. The way I understood the question, so Moshe Rabbeinu is answering, you're right. It's two different things. We use the same word Zohar, but it's two different ideas. The way the Marzu explains it, I guess we would have to say that, yeah, Shabbos has its mitzvah of Zohar, so that you could do Lishmor L'Kadesh Yisrael Shabbos, to sanctify and to keep the Shabbos. And Amalek has its mitzvah of Zohar, because you want to do the mitzvah of, a separate mitzvah of destroying Amalek. It's a zechira in order to bring you to the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. There's a connection between the mitzvah of Zechira Samalik and the mitzvah of Mechia Samalik. And I think I mentioned this when we did Perek Memtes. So over there we talk about Shmuel Navi killing Agag, the king of Amalek. So Shmuel Navi's last words before he killed him was, Kasher Shikla Hashem Chabela Kenti Shagam Shami Melcha. Right? And he said, just like your sword made Jewish women childless, so this sword will make your mother childless. So the Mufarshim are all bothered by, why did Shmuel Levi have to say these words before he was about to kill the king of Amalek? What's the point? So I'm pretty sure they say this in the name of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav says that the pshat is that there's a din that when you're doing Mechias Amalek, you also have to do Zechiras Amalek. The two things go together. It's a Zechira that's part of the Mechia. So right before you kill him, you should speak out, why am I killing you? I'm killing you because you killed us, so Hashem said we should destroy you. I mean, we'll speak a little bit about this in a few minutes, but it helps a person maintain perspective. We're not stam killing a Malik. We're not stam just doing genocide for no reason because we hate them and we don't like them, so we want to kill them. There's a reason behind it. Hashem told us to destroy them, not stam, because Hashem wants us to destroy them for a reason. And we're going to see in a few minutes that there's an idea that if you kill somebody, even if you do it for a mitzvah, you're still a murderer, and it affects you. Fine. Another nekuda the Radal points out over here is a very interesting idea. Moshe Rabbeinu answered the question of what's the comparison between Shabbos and Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu answered it with what? With a mashal of two cups. A cup of fancy wine and a cup of vinegar. And he's like, oh, they're either two cups, so they should be the same thing. He says, no, the cups are holding something else. Right? Just like the remembrance is holding a remembrance for the different ideas. So the idea of the cup, the Radal sort of expands on that. It says that it's actually a very appropriate mashal, because both the mitzvah of Shabbos and the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek both have to do with a cup. By Shabbos, we take wine and we drink wine. That's the mitzvah of Zochar Yisrael Shabbos HaKadshei, means Zachreyo Alayayin, make kiddush on a cup of wine. So that's the cup that we use for Shabbos. And the cup that we use for Amalek is obviously, you know, the Simcha and the Mishnah that we have on Purim by the downfall of Haman. So there you have another cup of wine. So it's an appropriate mashal. So the Radal says. Fine. Now the next four words. Uchashitovei la'aretz le'sishkach. These four words are somewhat problematic. It's a question of exactly how to read it. But Pasha... If first of all, the Ksaviyat edition, the manuscript, the Higger edition, doesn't have these four words b'chol, so he takes it out. But the way it would seem to be going on what we just said, remember Amalek, and when you go to Eretz Yisrael, don't forget Amalek, don't forget to take care of Amalek. That's what it seems to be saying. And in fact, the Radal says makes a diuk from that. It sounds like the mitzvah of Amalek, of Zechiras Amalek, is dependent on going into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, was there a mitzvah of remembering Amalek, let's say, before they came into Eretz Yisrael, in the Midbar? Was there a mitzvah? It sounds like not. Or let's say maybe nowadays. Let's say when we're in Golos, after the destruction of Eretz Yisrael, whatever, is there a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? Maybe not. It sounds like not, because it says, when you go into the land, don't forget that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is dependent on being in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of destroying Amalek is for sure dependent on Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam says in Halachos Melachim. But the mitzvah of Zechira, the Medrash here sounds like it's dependent on being in Eretz Yisrael. But the Radal says that the Rambam, both in Sefer Mitzvahs and Halachos Melachim, sounds like the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek is continuous. It's always. It's every time, every place. You always have that mitzvah. The Sefer Chinuch says that the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek could be yotze with it one or two or three times a year. You don't have to remember it every single day. But the Rambam seems to be saying that every day there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. That's why some people say the parsha of Amalek every day after Davin, after Shacharis. But that's the way we have the Girsa. K'shatavi l'aretz l'shishkach. That's a continuation of the commandment. The Rabbi Yomi Izmir in V'loyoid Ella has a different Girsa. And also, Rav Chaim Falachi also has this gersa. It's going on the next line that we're about to say. It's supposed to say like this: Kishabo Yisrael la'aretz. When Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, shachachol la'hachris la'hashmid es kol zarish al-Amalek. They forgot to cut off and destroy all the descendants of Amalek. Stop! I just noticed over here it says la'hachris u'la'hashmid, and earlier we just said la'hashmid u'la'hachris. We switched the order of cutting off and destroying, and he said destroying and cutting off. Hmm. I don't know what the significance of that is. Yeah.
That's a pasuk.
No.
It's called Zaro Shalama.
No, the pasuk just says Zachor. It says Mochoy Timcha. Doesn't say Lahashmid Lahachris.
Also, wait a minute, but Amalek wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. Amalek is outside.
No, right, but when you go to Eretz Yisrael, then you're obligated to get rid of them.
That sounds like they're there, so get rid of them now.
No, meaning until you're settled and you went to your homeland or whatever, then so we're not going to be... You have to have, like, maybe you could say, like, you know, from a practically military perspective. First, you have to have set up your base of operations. Now you have Eretz Yisrael. You settled Eretz Yisrael. Everything is Beseder. Now you can build your army to go fight someone outside. But until you're settled, then you're not obligated to fight Amalek. Something like that. Al Kaponim, so Bnei Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, and they forgot to go destroy Amalek. They forgot. They forgot? How can you forget? What does that mean, you forgot? We'll explain in a minute. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yishachach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't forget. Obviously, he didn't forget. There's no such thing as forgetting regarding Hashem. Okay. U'cheshemalach Shaul, when Shaul became the king, Omer lo Shmuel. Shmuel Hanavi said to him, Koymar Hashem Tzvokos Pokadati. Hashem said to, so says Hashem Tzvokos Pokadati. Remembered what Amalek did. Atal leich v'kisa es Amalek. Go, now go and smite Amalek. So Shmuel Hanavi came to Shaul HaMelech and gave him a specific nevuah that now go and destroy Amalek. Ata! Now! Go! Until then, Klal Yisrael didn't do it. How long was it from when Klal Yisrael came in to Eretz Yisrael until Shaul HaMelech became king? Something like 300 years. Like, the whole Sefer Shoftim is you know, that era. Like something like 300 years or so, they didn't go fight Amalek until Shaul became Shmuel Levi gave it nevuah specifically to Shaul Amalek, go out and fight them. You should fight them. Ad Mashtin, we'll speak it out in a minute. What were they thinking? Ad Mashtin Bekir, until those who urinate on the wall. That's the lashon of the pasuk. It's not the lashon of the pasuk. Sorry, it says until all those who urinate on the wall. That's not the lashon of the pasuk. The pasuk says meish ve'ad isha me'olal ad yonek mishor ad se me'gomel ad chamor. The pasuk says man from man to woman, from child to nursing kid, from ox to sheep, from camel till donkey. That's what it says in the pasuk. So it says all men, women, children, and animals. That's what it says in the pasuk. Here the Medrash says, Mashin Bekir, all those who urinate on the wall. So what does it mean, those who urinate on the wall? So this expression, Mashin Bekir, is found in the Pesukim in other contexts. In Sefer Melachim, there were three kings, there were more than three kings, but there were three kings that did not behave properly, Malchi Yisrael, that did not behave properly, and the Navi told them, the different Navim told them, that they will be destroyed, their whole family will be destroyed. Yeravam, Pasha and Achav, their entire families were wiped out. And the Nevuah that prophesied that those families would be wiped out said, Mashtin Bekir, those who urinate on the wall. Now, the Mefarshim explained in those contexts that those who urinate on the wall is referring to all the males. Because women can't necessarily urinate on the wall. They're just not physiologically built to be able to do such a feat. Right? But it's talking about specifically the men. And the biggest raya is because Achav had a daughter, Pasha's, she was his daughter, whose name was Asaliyahu, and she became the queen of Malchus Yehuda. And she was, and all the Malchus Yehuda afterwards were her grandson became king after her, and they were all her descendants. Right? So all the Malchus Yehuda were her descendants. She's a descendant of Achav, she should be killed. The Nevuah that said that Achav's family would be wiped out was never in the Niskayim. No, the Nevuah only applied to the males of the family of Achav, and she wasn't a male. Mashin Bekir only is referring to males. So now it's very difficult to say that when our Medrash here uses the phrase Mashtin Bekir, it's referring to the males. Because that's not true. There's no such thing that you only kill out the males of Amalek. You kill the women, the men, women, children, animals, not just the males. So why does it say Mashtin Bekir? It's a problematic phrase over here. So the Radal wants to say that, and we actually do find that in Chazal tell us that Yoav, who was the Sartzava of Shaul, I believe, before he became the Sartzava of David Melech, so he made a mistake, and he thought that you only have to kill the Zohar of Amalek, the males of Amalek. And then that was a mistake, because you're really supposed to kill male and female, and women and children and animals or whatever. But that it's a mistake to say that it's talking about only Mashtin Bekir. But, so the Radal says that you have to say that Mashtin Bekir in this context refers to animals. If you ever see a dog on the sidewalk by a fire extinguisher, right? So they could be Mashtin Bekir. The animals could do that. So that's what it's referring to. It's referring to animals. And when we're saying animals, so that obviously that means men, women, children, and even animals. That's the way I would understand it. Now, the Radha doesn't say this, but I want to add, maybe you could say that the Medrash means to say that... No, let's not say this. Okay, I don't want to say this. Okay, fine. That's the point. So Shmuel Levi gave a special nevuah to Shaul HaMelech that you should destroy him. So the Shaila is like this. Why didn't they go and destroy Amalek beforehand? The mitzvah was, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, destroy Amalek. So why did they wait 300 years? What happened? What were they thinking? So Rabbi Leo, okay, so Rabbi Leo Meizr says a vart. I have a problem with the vart, but he says a vart over here to answer the question. The vart is predicated on another vart. The pasuk says by Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov Avinu met Esav in Parshas Vayishlach, so it says Vayira Yaakov Vayetzalei. Yaakov Avinu was scared and he was distressed. Vayira Vayetzalei. So what's this double lashon? He was scared and he was distressed. So Rashi and Chumash says Vayira Shelo Yehorig. He was scared because he didn't want to get killed in his encounter with Esav. Vayetzalei. He was distressed. Shelo Yarig Hu Esacherim. So he was distressed so that he won't go out and kill somebody else. So Mufarshim are bothered. What's Rashi saying? Yaakovin was scared that he might kill somebody. He's going to kill Esav, right? So what's the problem? You kill Esav. Esav is a Rasha. He's supposed to be killed. He's your enemy. He deserves to be killed. Why are you scared that you might kill him? What's the problem with killing Esav? So I heard from Rav Nechemia Kaplan, Shlita. He's a son-in-law of David Soloveitchik. I used to go to his Chumashir when I was a bacher. So he wanted to say... Chumashir? Okay, whatever. I don't need a Chumash. He wanted to say... He wanted to say that the pshat is like this. Yaakov realized... Yeah, in Parshas Re'eh, so in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah tells us about something called Ir Nidachas. The halakha of Ir Nidachas is if the people of a city do Avodah Zarah, so you have to kill the city, wipe them all out, and all the property in the city, destroy it. V'lo yibak ba'uma min acherem, don't let any of the contraband stick to your hand. Leman Yashuv Hashem Echor in Apoi, so Hashem will return from His anger. V'nosan l'cho rachamim v'richamcho v'yirpecho, and Hashem will give you rachamim, will give you mercy, and you'll have mercy, and you'll become fruitful. Kasher nishba l'avisecho, like Hashem promised to your forefathers. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh over there in that pasuk is bothered by, what do you mean? If you destroy an ir nitachas, Hashem is going to give you rachamim. What does that mean, Hashem is going to give you rachamim? Why is Hashem giving you rachamim? So, the Aruch Chaim says like this. I'll read his words. Because I happen to have a Mikras Gedolos. Kavanas Maimer Zekan. This is Pasuk Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. Kavanas Maimer Zekan. The intent of this Pasuk over here is to tell you. Lefi Shetziva Al Ir Anidachas, Shiyargul Kol Ha'ir Lefi Chorev. Because the Torah had commanded you to destroy, to kill an Ir Anidachas, according to the sword. You kill out the whole thing. Vafila behemton. Even their animals. And ma'isa hazeh yerli teva hachzarius b'leva adam. Such an action brings a cruel nature in the heart of a person. It makes you into a cruel person. Right? So for this reason, lezeh omar havtocha shi'itin lahem Hashem rachamim. For this reason, the pasuk says that when you kill it, you're in nidachas, Hashem gives you rachamim. He gives you extra rachamim. Saying that even though you're doing a mitzvah, you're killing people from the ir nidachas, it's a big mitzvah, still, just the fact that you killed somebody desensitizes you and makes it that now you're a murderer. You killed a person. It makes you into the type of person who can now be a killer. So Hashem is saying that if you do wipe out the people of the ir nidachas, so you'll get a special rachamim. Now, we don't necessarily find that the pasuk says that by the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. It just says it by ir nidachas. So if Nechemia Kaplan wanted to say that was Yaakov Avinu's hesitation, he was scared that he might end up killing somebody else. He might end up, if he kills Esav, no, that's not a problem. But if he kills Esav, now he becomes a murderer and he becomes an achzar, he becomes a cruel person. That's what Yaakov Avinu wanted to avoid. So that's what he was scared of. That's what Nechemia Kaplan, Shlita's Vart. But Rabbi Yomi Izmir says a different pshat. And they bring this pshat. I found this in the Kerem Tzvi and Parshas Vayishlach b'shem the Grub. Another sefer Pnine Mukarim, Hungarian. It was a popular sefer before the war. On Chumash Pnine Mukarim, the Mechaber was killed in the war, I believe. And I found it also in some Chassidish Sfarim b'shem the Kotzker. A different. What does it mean that Yaakovina was scared? Shelo yaharig hu asacherim, that he won't kill others. Who's acherim? So the Gemara says, who's acherim? In other contexts, who's acherim? Acherim is Rabbi Meir. Right? Whenever there's a bright says Rabbi Yehuda says this, acherim, acherim, whatever. So the Gemara says acherim is Rabbi Meir. Why is Rabbi Meir called Acherim? Because he was a Talmud of Elisha ben Avuya, and Elisha ben Avuya was called Acher. So Meir is called Acherim because he took the good things from Elisha ben Avuya and he threw out the bad things. Zarek is a Kafrisin, something like that. He threw out the bad things, he took the good things from Elisha ben Avuya and he said over halachas. So because of that, Rabbi Meir is sometimes masked in Mishnayos and Brises, he's called Acherim. Right? So when Rashi says that Yaakovina was scared that he doesn't want to kill Esav, Shelo Yarig Es Acherim, he was scared that he might kill Rabbi Meir. Acherim is Rabbi Meir. What's the Havana? The Havana is because Rabbi Meir, is the Gemara in Gittin says that Rabbi Meir was a descendant of Esav. Meir was a descendant of Esav. He's from Gerim or whatever.
And Gittin, it's in the seaport. Not Nebuchadnezzar did Tshuva and came near someone else.
We'll get to that. But yeah, very good. So the Gemara in Yigitin says that Meir was a descendant of Esav. So these Mepharshim, the Gra and the other Mepharshim, the Panini Mekarim, they all say that the Pshat is that Yaakovina was scared that he might end up killing Esav, and then we won't have Rabbi Meir because Meir is Achirim, he's a descendant of Esav. See, so that was Yaakovina's hesitation that he didn't want to have to kill Esav. So, based on this, Rabbi Yomi Izmir says that for the same reason that Yaakovina was scared of killing Esav, Klal Yisrael was scared of wiping out Amalek. They didn't want to kill Amalek right when they came into Eretz Yisrael because they also knew that Rabbi Meir was going to be a descendant of Esav, and they didn't want to by mistake kill the progenitor of Rabbi Meir. So because of that, they waited with the mission. It's a cute Vart. What's that? I'll tell you the bomb question on the Vart in a minute. But because of that, they delayed carrying out the mitzvah of destroying Amalek until Shmuel and Avi gave a nevuah that no at all leich v'kisas Amalek. Now you can go kill Amalek, which Rabbi Yomi Israel says that now you don't have to worry about Rabbi Meir because now that branch of Esav's family that's going to convert and join and Rabbi Meir is going to be a descendant of they already joined Klal Yisrael. So whoever Rabbi Meir is going to be a descendant of is already Jewish. He's already part of Klal Yisrael, so you could destroy Amalek and you don't have to worry about Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Yomi Izmir understands. It's a cute part that he says over here. Now, the problem is this. I think it's a big problem. The problem is that I inaccurately quoted the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin does not say that Rabbi Meir is a descendant of Esav. It says even better. It says Rabbi Meir was a descendant of Nero and Caesar. Of Emperor Nero. Famous for? For playing the fiddle while Rome was being burnt down.
He burned
it. Right. So Chazal tells that Nero, he ran away and he became a ger. Now, the historians tell us the same thing. It says that Nero ran away, became crazy and ran away. I hold that that's mamish congruent with what Chazal tell us. They can't say that he became Jewish, so they say he went crazy and he ran away. Yeah. But that's what Chazal said. He ran away and he became Jewish. And Rabbi Meir is a descendant of Nero. So you can't say that, by the time of Shmuel and Novi, that branch that Rabbi Meir is going to be a descendant from already broke off of Amalek. It's not true. He's a descendant of Nero. Nero is going to come about 1,000 years later.
Nero is Edom. Amalek is Edom, meaning it's in the Mishpacha.
Right, he's still part of the Mishpacha all the way down till Emperor Nero. And Rabbi Meir lived, maybe 100 years after Nero, so it would seem that Rabbi Meir was like a grandson or great grandson of Nero. Not more than that. Okay, but it's a cute vart. He to explain the hesitation of Bnei Yisrael to fight Amalek. It's a cute vart, but it has difficulties. Well, let's go weiter. V'lokach Shaul as Kol Anshei HaMelchama V'yotzei L'Kras HaMalek. Shaul took all the men of war, meaning all the soldiers, to go out and greet Amalek, meaning to go battle with them. U'chushaba Shaul L'Emtza Derech Amad Mahar Habiliboy. When Shaul got to the middle of the road, he stopped and he started thinking in his head. Shenemar, it says the pasuk, V'yavei Shaul Ad Ir Amalek. Shaul came till the city of Amalek, Vayarev Banachal, and he started fighting in the Nachal, in the Wadi. So what does it mean he was fighting in the Wadi? So Chazal tell us, Gemara and Shabbos, Nun Vav and Beis, the Gemara and Yuma, Chaf Beis and Beis, Gemara says, what does it mean Vayarev Banachal, he was fighting in the Wadi? Al Iske Nachal, he was fighting Kibiyachal Hashem, in a way, he was fighting against Hashem, Al Iske Nachal, about the matter of the Wadi. What's the matter of the Wadi? It's talking about Egla Rufa. Because it says Egla Rufa Banachal. You're supposed to put the Egla Rufa in the Nachal, in the Wadi. Right? So the Gemara over there says that Shaul HaMelech came up with the following reasoning. He said, just like the Torah is makbid on the death of one person, that if you don't know who killed him, so everyone needs a kapara and you have to bring an Egla Rufa. So for the death of multiple people, for sure the Torah would be particular about it, to be makbid about it, I wouldn't want such a thing to happen. So how could I go out and kill Amalek? The Torah wouldn't want the death of so many people. That's what that's the faulty reasoning of Shaul HaMelech. He didn't want people to. We see that the spirit of the law is that the Torah doesn't want people to be killed. So how could I go out and kill Amalek? The Torah doesn't want people to be killed.
Doesn't the Torah say kill Amalek?
Yeah.
What does he mean? The Torah doesn't.
So like this. Another nukud is like this. The Radal says that it says that he went to the Vayarap Nachal. He went to the Nachal. So the Nachal. What's the Wadi? Which Wadi? What Wadi? So he says that maybe it's referring to Nachal Eson, because the pasuk says by Egla Rufa that you should put the body of the calf in Nachal Eson. Put it in Nachal Eson. So I want to tell you that that's true only if. And he brings the pasuk because it says when Bilam was giving his prophecies at the end of Parshas Balak, he gave prophecies about multiple nations. So he said about the Canaan, he said Esan Moishevachal, you live at Esan, and we're going to see that the Canaan lived together with the Amalekites. So that means that Amalek also lived at a place called Esan. So the Radal wants to say that this place, this wadi that Shaul stopped to go fight against Amalek was Nachal Esan, where the Egla Rufa was supposed to be done. Nachal Esan. Now I tell you that it's not Mukhrach, because first of all, it's a Machlekes Rishonim. What does it mean Nachal Esan? Is Nachal Esan the name of a specific place? Nachal Esan? Let's say Esan Wadi? Or does Nachal Esan, the word Esan is not a proper noun, it's a regular noun. It's an adjective, let's say. Esan means the strong one, the strong place. Nachal Esan would just mean the wadi that's like very rocky, it's like a strong place, you have to be like tough to traverse such a place, right? So Nachal Esan doesn't mean a place, a specific place, it means in general that type of area, that type of rocky valley, wadi, river type area. And of course, obviously, I don't have to say this, but we see the name Esan. Yeah, Avraham Avinu is called Esan HaEzrachi, right? The strong one. Avraham Avinu is called the strong one. The Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, because he was able to fight everyone else, he to turn go against the current, so he had to be very strong. Also, the Piyutim on Rosh Hashanah, Avraham Avinu is called Esan HaEzrachi, and in fact, Tishrei is called Yerach HaEsanim. The strong month. Yerach means literally means moon, but it means month. Yerach HaEsanim, the strong month. Tishrei is called the strong month because it has all these Yomim Tovim in it. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres, etc. All these things. So it's stronger than all the other months because it can hold all these Yomim Tovim together. So if Nachal Esan means just, it's just a description of a place, it's not a specific place, so it's not Muchach to say that Amalek went, that Shaul went to Dafka, the place where they had the Egla Rufa. Whatever. Okay, so what does Shaul HaMelech do? Omar Shaul, continuing to, the Medrash is continuing to explain what was Shaul HaMelech's faulty reasoning. Omar Shaul said like this. Im ha'anashim chatu, hanashim mechatu. If the men sinned, did the women, with what did the women sin? Meaning, the where Dalek explains each line over here. The men sinned because they came out and did war against Klal Yisrael. Right? Fine. So the men sinned. But the women didn't come out and fight Klal Yisrael. The women didn't do any sin. Chazal tell us that, you know, women are potter from Pur Ravu, because the Pasuk says, Pur Ravu milu as aretz v'chivshua, and conquer the land. Right? Be fruitful and multiply the land and conquer the land. What does it mean, conquer the land? It means conquer the land. Be, you know, make war and stake out your position, etc. And Gemara Yevamah says that women are exempt from the middle of Pur Ravu because they don't conquer the land. They're lav b'nei kibush ninu. They don't fight. Women aren't supposed to be part of the army. Right? So Shola is saying, well, okay, the men came and they fought, but the women, they didn't fight. So what did they do? They didn't do any sin. So why should I kill out the women of Amalek? And then he says, okay, fine. But you know what? The Torah says, yeah, we have to kill the women. So fine, we'll kill the women. Im hanashim chatu, if the women are guilty, they deserve to be killed. Even though they, you know, you'll say the women, they deserve to be killed for a different reason. Gemara Yevamah. A different place in Ayin Ches, the Gemara says that it is the nature or the responsibility of women to go out and bring supplies to travelers, bring bread and water to people who are traveling, and the women of Amalek failed to do that. Right, so you could say that they're guilty in that way. The women of Amalek are guilty in that way. So if imanashim chatu, if the women are guilty for that, hayiladim el chatu, but the children, you can't expect the children to come out and bring bread and water. So why should we kill the children? So maybe we shouldn't kill the children. No, but the Torah says we should. So what are we going to do? Im ha'yiladim chatu. If the children are also guilty, they also deserve to be killed. Why? Because they're included in the general nation of Amalek. And if the men and women are guilty, so okay, we're going to throw in the kids too, because they're all part of one unit. So they also be killed. But behema mechata. Why should we kill the animals? What did the animals sin? They didn't do anything. Animals don't have das b'chal. So why are the animals guilty? Why should we kill the animals? And as we're going to see later on, in Perek Mem Tes, Sholomar failed to kill the animals of Amalek. So he didn't kill the animals. He decided he's not going to kill the animals. Right? So the Medrash says, Yatzos Abbas Koil, a heavenly voice came out, V'amra Aloi, and it said to Sholom Melech, Shol, Al Tehi Tzadik Yoser Mikoincha. Shol, don't be a righteous person, don't be a saint more so than your than your owner, than the one who owns the world. Don't be, you know, Kilo saying, don't be frumer than Hashem. Or as we say in English, don't be holier than the Pope. Right? The other girsa is, the Baisa Gadol has a different girsa. Al tehi tzadik harbe. Don't be such a big tzadik. There's a pasuk in Koheles. Don't be such a big tzadik. The Torah says, do it, you should do it. Don't start saying, oh, I'm better. I'm a bigger tzadik. I'm more Rachmanis than the Torah has. The Torah says don't kill people, and it says kill Amalek. I'm gonna be machmir. I'm gonna not kill Amalek because I want to be machmir and Rachmanis. Chazal tells us in other places that a person who has Rachmanis on somebody who deserves to be treated cruelly will end up being cruel to people who deserve Rachmanis, and that was fulfilled with Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech had Rachmanis on Amalek, who really he should have acted cruelly to, and it ended up that to his own son-in-law, he tried to kill his own son-in-law, and he was rid of him and chased after him, and he ended up acting cruelly to the person he should have been acting nicely to. That's the nature of the world. And I'm not going to say anything about modern-day liberalism, but you can extrapolate the different ideas from that as well. The Pasuk says, when Shmuel Navi chastises Shaul HaMelech, he says, you know, they have animal rights, but what about people's rights? They don't, you know, it's more important to like not hurt an animal than it is, you know, it's more important to not cut down a tree than it is that like children should have, you know, paper to write their homework on. Okay, what's more important? And when Shmuel Navi is chastising Shaul HaMelech, so he says, "Lama lo shamata b'kol Hashem? Why didn't you listen to the voice of Hashem?" So Radal says that that's an allusion to this paskal that said to Shaul HaMelech, "Al tei tzadik harbe, or al tei tzadik yesh b'kolcha. Don't be such a tzadik. You know, just listen to what the Torah says, without your own cheshbonos." And Shaul HaMelech had failed to heed the words of that paskal. Rabbi Aimer. Now we'll go on to a different point over here in the story of Shaul HaMelech fighting against the Amalek. Rabbi Omer, Kishabar Shaul l'machane Amalek, when Shaul came to the camp of Amalek, Ra'a b'nei Yisrael misarvin b'seich machane Amalek. He saw the descendants of Yisrael that were mixed into the camp of Amalek. Right? Yisrael had multiple names. Yisrael, Keni, Ru'uel, Chaver, Chayvav, etc. Amar lahem, so Shaul HaMelech said to the descendants of Yisrael, he said, Hispardim mitoich machane Amalek. Separate yourselves from within the camp of Amalek. Shinema, it says in the Pasuk, Vayamer Shaul ela Keni. Shaul said to the Keni, and Keni is another word for Yisrael, descendants of Yisrael. He said to them, Lechu, go, suru, remove yourselves, redu mitoich Amaleki. And go down from within, from the midst of Amalek, of the Amalekites. Pen oisivcha imoi, lest I destroy you with Amalek. And the end of the pasuk says, V'atos yisachesedim kol Yisrael. And you had done kindness to all of Bnei Yisrael, so therefore we don't want to kill you, so make sure that you separate yourselves from Amalek, so we won't end up killing you by mistake. Says the Medrash, V'chim kol Bnei Yisrael, also Yisrael chesed. What do you mean? V'atos yisachesedim kol Yisrael. You did chesed with all Bnei Yisrael, so therefore we don't want to destroy you. What do you mean? Yisrael did chesed with all Bnei Yisrael? V'aloi loy asa ela im Moshe bilvad. Yisrael didn't do chesed to all Bnei Yisrael, only did chesed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? What did he do? He took Moshe Rabbeinu into his house when Moshe Rabbeinu was running away from Paro. When Moshe Rabbeinu ended up in Midian, Yisrael took him into his house. He gave him his daughter, etc. So why does it say that Yisrael did chesed to all Bnei Yisrael? He only did chesed to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ella, rather, mikana to lomed. From here you learn shikolo eisa chesed im echad megedele Yisrael, that anyone who does kindness to one of the gedele Yisrael, to one of the important people of Bnei Yisrael, ki ilu asa chesed im kol Yisrael. It's as if he did chesed to all of Bnei Yisrael collectively, and because of that, Shaul didn't want that any Canaan should be injured in the battle with Amalek, so he told them to separate themselves. Because of the kindness that Yisrael did with Moshe, nimlutu banav mitech Amalek, his children were saved from sharing the same fate as Amalek. Shinema, it says the pasuk, Bayasar Keni mitech Amalek. The Keni removed themselves from within Amalek, and Amalek was killed, and the Kenim survived. And in fact, the Kenim were still alive, you know, hundreds of years later when Yehu Melech Yisrael decides to wipe out the worshippers of Baal, so he joins up with the Canaan. When the Canaan were big Kanoim, they were big Kanoim for Hashem, and they join him in the fight against the Baal to spread the worship of Hashem and get rid of the worshippers of Baal. Okay, so the story basically ends over here. The continuation of the story of the fight against the Amalek in the time of Shaul and Shmuel and Avi, Shaul Malch and Shmuel and Avi, continues later on in Perek Mem Tes, which we did previously, and Ayin Sham. Now the Medrash says, goes on to a slightly different topic. Rabbi Yossi says like this: Kishabas Sancheiriv l'Eretz Yisrael. When Sancheiriv, the king of Ashur, came to Eretz Yisrael, and he was conquering, the Assyrian king was going around the world, conquering the whole world. So, Ro kol ha'amim shebesviv Eretz Yisrael es machane Sancheiriv. All the nations, the neighboring nations that surrounded Klal Yisrael, saw the camp of Sancheiriv v'nisarim ma'id, and they were very scared. Uvarchu ishim v'mekoymai, and each nation ran away from its place. So Nehemar, it says the pasuk, the vua of Yeshaya, it says v'asir gevules amim, I will remove the borders of the nations. V'asudei seyam shrei seisi, and their Rashi says that it's referring to their stance. They're like, you know, their prominence. I'm gonna get rid of their prominence, right? I'm gonna destroy the borders of the nations and get rid of prominence. V'nichlasu lamidbar, and they all went into the desert, into the wilderness. V'nisarvu and b'nei Yishmael, and they mixed into the descendants of Yishmael. V'chula masara amim, and these all together are 10 nations. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, Oy hale Edom, that's one. Vishmaelim, that's two. Moav, three. Vahagrim, four. Gvol, which is Biblios, which is in Lebanon, whatever. Gvol, that's five. Vaamain, that's six. Vaamalek, that's seven. Pleshes, the Philistines, that's eight. Im Yeshvei Tsar, with the inhabitants of Tsar, which is also in Lebanon, Tyre. Gam Asher Nilva Imam. And also Assyria joined with them, that's 10. These are the 10 nations that mixed into, I guess, with Yishmael in the wilderness. They became like nomadics, I guess. And all of the 10 of these nations are destined to fall in the hands of Ben David, in the hands of Mashiach, Shenemar, Elikai, Shisemai, Kagalgal. But that's basically that's the end of the parak. The shaila is, why does the Midrash bring this piece over here that seemingly has nothing to do with what we're talking about? So what do you think?
Maybe even though it doesn't say that these people were mixed with Amalek. Amalek is in the area. Alikai in the area. Everyone was just sort of mixed together. First of all, it just talked about how the descendants of Yisro were mixed with Amalek, and now it's talking about another mixing.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some sort of shaykhus there.
Okay, so yeah, those are the two pshatim that we have over here. The Marzuz says basically that we're bringing this Medrash because we mentioned these 10 nations, and one of those 10 nations is Amalek, so this is sort of like telling you the end of Amalek. That's what the Marzuz says, and I wanted to say something similar to what you're saying. We just got finished saying that the Canaan, who were mixed into Amalek, separated themselves so that Shaul could fight only Amalek. So now we're saying that in the future, all these nations are going to get mixed in together, they're going to leave their place of inhabitants, and then go somewhere else and get mixed in. Just like the Canaan left their place of inhabitants to separate from Amalek, all these other nations are going to leave their place of inhabitants to get mixed into the other nations.
And Amalek is mixed in with all of them.
Right. Yeah. And that's why nowadays it's a concept, they say. If you meet a guy, are you mechuyev to kill him? Maybe he's Amalek. No, because they're mixed in, or whatever. There's different answers. Why not? But
it could be still. Yeah. He has
elements.
Zera out there. It's just there's some in every, you know.
Yeah.
It's all a big Ibuvia.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Shkoyach.
Coming. Oh, too.